It's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez.
We're with Rattle Snake, Real Ass Dude, Ultimate Minority, Joan Jett of Comedy. I got a lot of names.
International Superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny. He's a psycho. He's a real ass dude.
I was double-teaming this chick with her husband.
Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you fucking ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
What's up? It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez, Real Ass Podcast. We're back. Tuesday night, recording for a Wednesday night. I am Louis J. Gomez, here as always, the international superstar, Zach D'Amico. What's up, kid?
How you doing, brother? Dude, that four-hour podcast was hell on my life.
Why? What's wrong with it?
Because I got way too drunk and it fucked my fucking life up. My schedule was horrendous. I had to sleep the whole next day.
Be ready.
Yeah, that's the reason.
Ari, you talk to Lewis for 4 hours and don't get hammered.
That's a great point. I love the insult comebacks that aren't even let you just pass it on.
Look, incredible show planned today. Three great guests. Sean Donnelly's here. What's up, kid?
What up, dude? How are you?
I'm good. I don't like when you shave. You need to grow your facial hair back right now. I don't know who the fuck told you to go clean shaving. It just doesn't work trying to be shitty to you, but the angle is also like it's pointed at your fucking bare fucking
my giant chin. My double chin, my fucking weird double chin. I haven't shaved in 15 years fully, so I figured this would be the best time to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. No,
it's
the worst time.
Lewis looks like Johnny Depp in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas with those glasses on.
Yeah.
Shit. I thought that would get somewhat of a laugh from one of you guys. God damn it.
My look is back. Well, everyone is so distracted by your
my gubby awful face. Yes.
The weird thing was with that camera angle, lean forward again, you look like one of those like all heads, you know, the guys in the wheelchairs with nobody. The head is unaffected, but everything else is totally decimated.
Yeah,
right. You guys know that voice, ladies and gentlemen. He is everyone's least favorite Jew, Ari Shaffir.
What about Jesus?
People like Jesus. It's not like, nobody's like fuck Jesus. Like nobody's like oh screw that guy, except like edgelord goth kids.
Right.
Even like Jews aren't like screw Jesus, right?
Yeah, no, we are a little bit.
Are you really?
At the secret meeting.
Is it screw Jesus or we just don't believe in Jesus?
No. Like, fuck him.
Why fuck him? Why?
At the real secret meetings, the one where you like, where we kill little like non-Jewish babies and stuff and use them for our matzah. We talk some shit.
Obviously. That's pretty Jewish. You know, they're like, he thought he was better than us.
Yeah, exactly.
And ladies and gentlemen, very happy to have for the first time on the show, Puerto Rican Paul Verzi's here. This is great.
From the new studios, Verzi Studios.
Yeah.
Look at that thing. It's amazing.
As you were saying that, I'm like, what are you talking about? I've been on the show before, but yeah, I guess it does. I do look a little more Latino right now.
You look way more Latino than me. Like
you look like you're Latino, but like on a, like an important date.
You look like you should be playing dominoes right now.
I look like a Latino that just kind of won a scratch off. So I think I have more than I already.
$2,000. My life has changed.
Lump sum.
I don't give a fuck about a pandemic.
Yeah.
Well, do you remember when they first came out with $1,000 a week for life? You're like, wow.
Oh, I wanted it so bad.
If I had $1,000 a week for life, it would be a problem. Like $1,000 a week, I don't know how I would survive. Like I don't know.
Well, it's $500 a week. Support.
Yeah, after taxes and after, like, instead of taking the lump sum, it's like if you actually get it, then they don't pay you the full amount.
You just want a shitty salary for life.
Yeah, pretty much.
My best friend in elementary school's little brother won that.
No way.
Really?
Yeah, he won it. And he got the ticket when he was 17, so they had to wait till he was 18 to cash it in, but he won it.
No way. And did he say it's like they take out a lot of money? Or is it actually a...
No, I talked to somebody years ago going, dude, your buddy Donnie's brother won it. And I heard, you know, that he won it. But I mean, listen, dude, if you did nothing the rest of your life, what is he taking? Make 35 grand for sitting around?
For sitting around. Pretty much. It's great. Yeah.
The problem is the temptation to do nothing and just accept this $600 a week is there. So that your lifestyle sucks. Like you have to have roommates. Like you're a lottery winner, but you have fucking roommates. Yeah. You got a shitty apartment.
You don't want to be a lottery winner that works. That's not. Yeah. That's such a shame thing to be.
You got a 2006 Honda Accord.
Yeah. Like, you won being average for life.
Yeah. You won demotivation for life.
It's like booking and headlining Greenwich Village Comedy Club every night with the exact same salary.
I wouldn't turn down the $600 a week for life. Like, yeah, sure, that's fucking awesome. But the problem, the temptation, because people are doing this now, they're on unemployment now. They're like, dude, I love it. I love to just sit around. And it's like, do you have no motivation to do anything bigger than just sit around and collect the fucking paycheck?
Well, I think most people just don't stop working. It's just an added bonus, I guess, every year to their salaries.
Well, they also, a lot of the times with those things, you can do like one lump sum. But like with that, it's not even good. It's like, all right, we'll give you $8,000 or you can take $600 a week for life.
No, not that low.
It's not that low. It's probably way more than that. But it's not that much. It's way less than you'd think.
I bet it's like 12-15 grand and then that caps out at that.
Yeah, and then you're just like,
gonna pay taxes on it.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch the McMillions thing about that whole scam?
Yeah, it was fucking great.
But it's kind of like this, where it's like the guys who were doing the scams were making deals with strangers where they're like, we'll split it. We'll split the $1 million ticket, and then we'll get half, you'll get half. And then sometimes they weren't even giving them the money, and also other times they had to pay all the taxes on it out of their whatever they made.
Well, they were the dumbest people alive. Because they were taking half of the weekly payment, and then at the end of the year, they're like, you mean I got to pay taxes on the money?
Taxes on $1 million. Like, taxes on $1 million, which is like, it's like, so they basically, all their money was gone the minute
they lost money on the deal, like all of them.
Yeah. Of course they were fucking stupid, though. It's a bunch of fat fucks eating McDonald's every day.
No. It was friends
and family of shitty mobsters.
Yeah.
How do they get the insight to the McDonald's people? Like, they paid the off people that...
The security company. The guy who ran the trade-off. Like, the guy... So they made all those pieces, and the guy from the security company would bring the winning pieces to the printer to put in the mix with the rest of the pieces, and that guy was corrupt, and he was basically just stealing the... switching them out last minute because it was such lax... He knew the lady at the printer. It was lax, so he switched his own baggie with the winning tickets baggie, and then he sold off the other pieces. So he's making himself.
Yeah. Do you think his first actual crime in life was stealing money from the bank in Monopoly?
No, not at all.
And then years into the crime, they're like, isn't it weird that everyone that's ever won this is friends and or related to this one guy?
We should look into that. Yeah. They're like, we couldn't believe it. They had a different area code. How could they know each other?
Is this on Netflix?
No, it's on HBO Go. Or HBO, whatever.
HBO Go.
I mean, I used to love the McDonald's Monopoly game. It was McDonald's was they were sort of ahead of the game because nobody really did little winning things as well. It's sort of like breakfast cereal. You got prizes, right?
Yeah.
But once you became an adult, there was no prizes to be gotten. You know, Cracker Jack was when you were a kid, breakfast cereal, and McDonald's was like, no, we're gonna fucking have this game. And every time, I'm telling you, I used to love the McDonald's. I used to love tearing off the little things. You get a free fries. It was so dumb.
You're like,
I got a free Coke. I got a free fries. And you'd go back. You'd spend another $3 as you're buying an order of fries.
They said in the doc they made like an extra $5-10 million every time they ran the promotion.
Of course.
Yeah.
So even though it was corrupt, they went, well, we still got to keep doing it.
They brought it back after.
They brought it back after.
But when you look back on that, you're like, can you imagine someone not just going like, hey, here's one of the winning – I'm just going to take this.
Yeah.
Replace it with a free fries.
Well, the smart thing they did was the guy that was running it or McDonald's people, they gave one of the millions to the Ronald McDonald House as a charity gift.
Yeah, anonymously, yeah.
Anonymously.
Involved them.
Yeah.
Do you guys get sick when you eat McDonald's now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For 3 days.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it's horrible every time.
Yeah.
Breakfast doesn't get me sick. I never really get it anymore. And it's just because if I'm ever – at this point, McDonald's isn't even cheap, especially in a place like New York City. Like, it's a little bit cheaper. But when you consider the fact – if I were to go get a McDonald's double quarter pounder with cheese supersized with a Coke, right? Let's say that's the meal you get. It's going to be $9-10. For another $3, I can go to Shake Shack and get a fucking, like, a badass, really incredible burger. And the difference is negligible. And the experience, number one, I don't feel like shit afterwards. You know, it's real food. It's just, it's so good. So I can't justify ever. I mean, unless
on the road? On the road when there's nothing else.
Airports.
You know, but even then, I would just rather get a sandwich at an airport. I'd rather.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, but and airports have Five Guys now. Airports have Chick-fil-A. They have
exactly. Or the fucking unique, you know, kind of fucking place. Like if there's a Mexican place in LAX.
Yeah, you know, you'll get like a lot of times when you go to like a local area, whatever the most popular like restaurant is, like the mom and pop, they end up having a restaurant inside of the airport as well.
Yes, like that barbecue joint in Austin.
Salt
Lick.
Salt Lick. It's the best way to leave Austin. You're like one more time for the road.
They and had then it right there at the airport.
Try to not have diarrhea on the plane.
There's one in Houston as well. Whatever the Breakfast Club. Breakfast Club in Houston, which is like a straight up, like all Southern black, like you go there, it's just a line of black people. Right. It looks like the place is being robbed actually. And,
they're like, who's next to rob this place? They line up to rob it. They should have that as a theme restaurant. Just line up, rob it, move on.
Lewis went to the welfare office. He's like, what do these guys have?
Yeah, dude. It's so difficult. I can't justify the McDonald's, even if it's just a fast food mood. McDonald's has this, it's like a film that covers everything from
it's gross,
french fries to the burger to the milkshake. And it has this McDonald's flavoring. There's a flavor to it. I can't tell you what it is, but it feels very plasticky.
It's like McDonald's MSG.
Yes.
It's chemicals. And like, Lewis, I don't know what you do with your son, but as a dad, when you're like in a rush and your kids are like, let's get something to eat, in the rare time I do get them like nuggets from there, I feel like a piece of shit, man.
Oh, yeah.
He's had
McDonald's. He's had McDonald's, I believe, twice ever. He's had one full meal once with me. We got him a Happy Meal. And it was a whole thing. Like, I called his mom. I was like, is it okay? She was like, I don't know. Like, we had a talk. He's
an intervention. Yeah.
I'd like to note that Sean, me, Paul, and Lewis in these shots all look like grown up McNugget kids.
Zach, you look like Grimace without the purple paint.
No, but when you're a kid, well, back in the day, don't you think, and I know this is like an obvious statement, but it was better back in the day, like even nutritional wise, correct? Am I wrong about that? Like
probably
the way
not.
They made it, you don't think
I'll,
so? No,
I'll tell you like a little bit of a conspiracy there, not even really, but this is actually true. The food in McDonald's in other countries is far fresher and better than the
West.
It is. Yeah.
Because their FDA doesn't allow that kind of shit. Our FDA is like, fuck it. It's only our citizens.
Dude, that's on a lot of stuff. You ever go to Canada and look at the peanut butter? It's not as shiny.
Whoa.
If you get Skippy peanut butter in Canada, you open it up, you're like, oh, we have so many chemicals in our food. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Imagine Donnelly in Canada. They're like, hey, you want to go out today? And he's just staring at peanut butter. He's like,
oh. Let's get some peanut butter.
It's shiny. Just look at it.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think that McDonald's, just society in general has like a health initiative now, right? So it's like when I started doing comedy like 14, 15 years ago, right? And when I started going on the road back in the day, you could not find anything healthy. Even when I started traveling at airports, airport was like fucking Cinnabon, you know, McDonald's, Burger King. That's it. I can get gluten-free, carb-free. I can get keto meals almost anywhere in this country now. You go to a gas station and get nuts and pickles and sandwiches and vegetables and little things with dip. It's just, I think overall we are more educated now and people know not to pump chemicals and sugar for your body. So I think that when you see 7-Eleven in stores like that, like having like legitimate, like healthy snack areas, it does say something. And so I think it did spill over to McDonald's. McDonald's has salads now. I'm sure I haven't been to McDonald's in a while, but I'm sure that they have like.
You went when we were at Bananas in Poughkeepsie a few months ago.
All right, Zach, why are you fucking making me look like a phony?
Because you called me to go get McDonald's and I was too hungover to get there.
Oh, yeah, but we were. All right. Don't fucking. All right. Okay. We were staying at a Red Roof Inn. The only other thing in the parking lot was a McDonald's.
Yeah, that was no choice.
Well, that's what I'm saying. When it comes down to no choice, you got to do it.
We were playing a comedy club on a highway.
Yeah, as a as comics, we, but dude, when you do bananas in, when you do bananas in Hasbro Heights, you got to do White Castle, man. Cause White Castle, you can't get everywhere. And it's like, listen, if you're going to feel like shit, at least have one that you haven't had in a while, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's a rare, it's a rarity. You feel like shit on a rarity.
It's insane how that room looks and how legendary it is, but it still looks the same. Like think about the people who have played there, but it still looks like a freaking a meeting room at a fucking hotel, chain hotel.
Yeah, Cleveland. No.
I was talking about the Hasbro Heights one too. I misspoke.
Yeah. So here's the deal. That club. It's funny because it is just a meeting room at a hotel. You know, Monday through Thursday, and then Friday and Saturday they bring in like a set, so they bring in like some bananas to hang from the ceiling.
Yeah. Well, I think they stopped it. Helium owns it now. Yeah.
No. I they didn't. They still do the same exact set. I just did it not that long ago. After the Orange Helium owned it, I love it, dude. The crowd's great. It's fucking.
They're good.
Yeah, we had a great time.
Yeah, they're great.
The only thing that sucks is they have these two big like walls of pictures of the comics that have headlined over the years. And while you're waiting to go on, you just count how many of them died in hotel rooms.
Is that where
you play tic-tac-toe with
Where was Giraldo's last weekend? Was it
Stress Factory.
Yeah, Stress Factory, because Bobby had to go replace him.
Jesus, what a fucking downgrade.
Bobby Kelly replaced him?
Let's go back to eating shitty.
Dude, they had the same thing actually when Chick-fil-A opened in LA, West Hollywood, and there was lines, I mean, three blocks long. And my friends who weren't from the West East Coast were like, is Chick-fil-A really that good? I'm like, no. It just reminds me of the shit they had when they were younger. It's the same shit.
But Chick-fil-A is better than McDonald's, though.
Chick-fil-A is better than McDonald's. I would say McDonald's was worse than Chick-fil-A.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, Chick-fil-A is pretty damn good. Like, let's get real. In terms of a chicken sandwich, it's fucking great, right? You know, is it crazy lines good? No, neither is Shake Shack. But it's undeniably the best burger you can get is Shake Shack. If you want, a burger that's not at a restaurant that's like a $40 burger.
In-N-Out.
You're retarded, Ori.
I'm retarded doesn't mean I'm wrong about this one thing.
In all fairness, I would trust a retarded person's opinion on fast food the most.
If you try to say that In-N-Out Burger is better than Shake Shack, Ari.
Wait.
Yeah, no way.
You're asking me if I was trying to say that after directly saying In-N-Out Burger is better than Shake Shack? I couldn't have been more clear.
Shake Shack's way better.
I mean, way better. It's not even in the same fucking. You're being cool. Ari's being like
East
a cool
bias.
Punk rock.
East Coast bias, like you guys always are. That's why he's still racist.
He's trying to.
Of all time when he was just mediocre. East Coast bias. It's been a long time coming.
Where are you right now, Ari?
I'm in Balmer.
Balmer.
Yeah.
Dude, how dare you say that Shake Shack is better. Shake Shack was when I first, here's the thing before, I'm sorry, Shake Shack.
Frozen ingredients, full of bacteria.
None of that's true. It's organic. It is organic. It is fucking high quality, nothing frozen.
It's great. Listen, if you're looking for an A-, Shake Shack's the way to go.
I thought Lewis was going to say to Ari, how dare you say Stephon Marbury was.
Percy, you're the only one who got that joke. Everyone else was like, I don't know what those words mean.
I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I don't even think it's up for debate. A couple of years ago, maybe 2 years
ago. We're literally debating it.
No, it's not up for debate.
Okay.
2 years ago, I was in Brooklyn. I saw on the street a Shake Shack, or I'm sorry, an In-N-Out. Zach, do you remember what it was? Was it a wrapper for a burger, or was it a whole burger just on the street?
Burger on the street.
It was an In-N-Out burger sitting on the in the middle of the street. And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, where would this come from? How did it get here in New York City? And then I had this conspiracy theory that it was like a viral marketing thing, and they were trying to get people to like take pictures of it and talk about it.
It probably was.
It was.
No, there was an article. So there's a way you can prepare the burger that you can take it on the plane and it won't fuck up too bad. And a girl dropped it out of her bag and people saw pictures of it and they thought it was a viral marketing stunt, but it was just some fat girl who brought a bunch of burgers home and dropped one.
This female Zach
Amico. She's so crying. I love that burger.
Zelda Amico.
Dude. I really thought it was some cool marketing campaign. We were going to get In-N-Out Burger here, and I got excited.
Lewis thought a store was going to grow out of the burger slowly.
Yeah.
In-N-Out's the one that's real religious, right?
Are they?
No, that's Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A, but also In-N-Out, I think. They have Bible scripture on the plates or on the cups or something.
In-N-Out. Yeah. In-N-Out.
In-N-Out. Bottom.
Yeah. I forget what the scripture is.
They have like Bible scriptures?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
You don't get that at Shake Shack, do you, either?
Say, dude, Chick-fil-A proves that being hateful just makes your food taste a little bit better.
Yeah, I have no problem, you know, at all with any of the beliefs of the CEOs of fucking companies. That's a crazy thing that people do now.
Yeah.
Where it's like, do you go around your apartment and you start touching things and go, okay, well, this table, I got to really look at what the vice
president. That's the thing. When people are like, you want to play that game? Play the game. Give up your iPhone first. First and foremost, give up your iPhone. Stop using Amazon. I mean, play the game if you want
to
play.
It has to be everything. You're all or nothing kind of thing.
When people get mad that CEOs of a company like Trump, it's like, well, turn off UFC, I guess. Turn off fucking wrestling. Turn off basically anything, because anybody that's making a ton of money right now loves the fucking guy.
Sure. Yeah, and everybody's saying shit like, everything's China, fuck China, we got to stop it. That's everything you get. People still buy it. Nobody's stopping that. If we stop buying things from China, nobody would have shit.
If you were to really break it down, you really want to play that game, right? I don't even got to go further than 6 inches in front of me. This microphone, right? This microphone. Just think about everybody involved in building this microphone. From the people who sell it at fucking Best Buy to the person who delivered it on a truck. But hold on, the person who made that truck, the person who got the rubber for the tires for that truck, the metal for this microphone, the wiring. It goes to, you know, probably an immeasurable amount of people and a measurable amount of businesses that it touches. And you're going to sit there and go like, well, I really have to only support companies that believe the same things that I believe politically. It's absolutely impossible and childish.
Yeah. I agree with Lewis that this podcast is worth this whole virus.
All right, guys, let's take a quick second and thank one of our incredible brand new sponsors, Cushy Dreams. I love Cushy Dreams. Let me tell you something. I didn't realize how much I was going to love Cushy Dreams. We've been talking about CBD on the show for a long time, and you guys probably already know CBD is the non-psychoactive chemical in hemp or in marijuana. It doesn't get you high. It helps get your body back in homeostasis, which essentially makes your body healthier, and it helps your body heal itself. Things like physical pain, anxiety, sleep issues. There's so many different things that CBD can help with. And I'm supposed to talk about this stuff. Obviously, just do a little research for yourself. Go to Google. Maybe you have some sort of physical or psychological affliction, mental affliction. Maybe you got issues. See if CBD can help. Maybe that's the answer. And really what I love about Cushy Dreams is they offer CBD-rich flower bud. I like to smoke bud, and I'll tell you right now, when I take CBD and I take gummies, or when I take it in any other way, I don't feel it's a weird thing. I don't feel like I feel it right away. I have to sort of like just forget about it. And then when I smoke Cushy Dreams and I smoke a joint, they sent me a bunch of pre-rolls. They also sent me a bunch of jars as well. It's this amazing, really tasty, beautiful bud. And it actually, for some reason, when I smoke it, immediately my anxiety drops. I've been smoking it in the morning because I don't like to get high in the morning, because when I get high in the morning, I end up getting lazy midday. But I do like, I've always done that. I've always smoked in the morning, and Cushy Dreams enables me to get rid of my anxiety, smoke some really delicious, beautiful flower bud, and go on with my day and really reap the benefits of CBD the right way, in a very healthy way, and a very legal way, legal in 50 states as well. All you have to do, if you want to check out their incredible selection of products, is go to cushydreams.com. That is cushydreams.com. And when you check out, use the promo code RAP20. You get 20% off your first order. So go do that right now. It's an exclusive discount for Gas Digital customers and Real Ass Podcast listeners. There's no better offer out there. Smoke your CBD because you can with Cushy Dreams at cushydreams.com. All right, where were we?
You guys, I did this thing and people were going wild. I don't know where you stand on this, but I don't think for a second that this thing is by accident. I'm not a conspiracy theory guy, although I think that this is definitely 100%.
Well, apparently it's proven that it's not. It was already proven.
It's not proven. It's not proven. One dude.
No, no, it's no, hold because
what,
they're saying.
Slow down. What's proven? What? So what are you talking about?
Made in the lab.
One thing that is proven is that it definitely did come from a lab. Correct?
No. Not that's not wasn't proven. There was one dude said it the same way they said Trump colluded with Russia.
I don't think it was. There was a whole thing. Wasn't there a whole thing with a guy? There was a it was put into a lab and accidentally it was basically smuggled out of the lab in China. Because the thing is, man, I think that makes more sense to me than it was one person eating one bat.
Of course,
in China, that makes so much more sense.
Eating an aardvark that ate a bunch of bat dung.
Mm. Is that what it was?
The head of, I think, like the
who's eating
not the medical department or somebody big at Harvard got arrested, as well as two Chinese nationals.
That's
and they found out he was working for the biotech lab in Wuhan. And they were caught with viruses on their person that they were smuggling. Right. Not necessarily that it was this one. But it was this January.
They were smuggling it outwards, like 12 monkeys?
They were going back and forth, and he was doing,
I think, some
type of work where he was going back and forth between Harvard's lab and Wuhan.
I'm not saying that didn't happen. I'm just saying it's not proven.
And the theory is that the lab workers didn't know the ramifications of what was going on. So they took the animals they were being tested on and they sold them to the wet markets. It's not that it was a conspiracy to spread it. It was just that it was a thing that was stolen from a lab to originate that was only supposed to stay in a lab. Like he wasn't trying to start a pandemic.
Yeah, I can believe that could happen. And if it did happen, it's either intentionally released or it just got out of hand. But it's definitely not for sure.
Yeah, maybe something really Chinese happened.
The way they said it was that the bat or whatever the
Chinese people don't cough on others. How could it spread?
They start
the most polite people of all time.
They keep their distance.
I just don't understand.
They don't piss their shit in the street.
No, people were getting mad and they were going, why are all these people starting conspiracies and they always have to make something? I'm like, I'm not starting a conspiracy. I'm just saying, I don't think, it's like what Sean said. I don't think one guy ate a bat and there was a fuck up, dude. Not to mention the fact
You don't got to be a conspiracy theorist. Like, how is anyone so complacent to just go, I'm going to completely buy the story that is being handed to me right now. There's nothing. There is literally nothing that I read in the newspaper and I go, they just gave us all the facts. You know,
if there's any of those people who are like, I don't believe in the conspiracy theory, tell them, what if it costs? We can fully investigate where it came from, and we will find out for sure if it was in a lab, and the cost to the U.S. taxpayers, is $50 total. Should we use that money towards finding out? And they would all go, well, yeah, I mean, we should
find out. Yeah. Well, dude, you saw the murder-suicide, like 3 weeks ago, the guy from University of Pittsburgh was testing something that was working on SARS, and then they modified it, and it started to attack the COVID-19. And that guy and somebody else were killed in a murder-suicide at the University of Pittsburgh yesterday. And people are going like, oh, who knows? And they're like, okay, well, what about the guy who was blowing the whistle and you found out that his partner was killed the other day or died? All right, well, you never
Well, you look at the whole, like, Epstein thing. I used to think that's all, like, crazy. I was like, nobody's killing people. Nobody's Epstein fucking. Thing, then I'm Jeffrey Epstein got killed. I was like, okay, no, that happens. They kill people. They want to shut up. And they'll do it when they're in custody. They'll do it when the government's watching. They will just fucking – and the excuses when you look at when they say it was like, oh, yeah, the cameras just weren't on. You're like, are you kidding me? Like, they're not even embarrassed. It's like, yep, cameras weren't on. Sorry.
It is the most the sloppiest murder I've ever seen in my life. I think that, Zach could murder somebody more quietly than they did.
That made me just go. It sort of opened my eyes to go like, okay, we don't know anything. We will never know anything.
I don't think he's even dead.
Really?
You don't think he's dead even?
I think he's dead.
I don't. Where? Did they even show a picture of the body? Or did they just tell us he killed himself?
Wait, who's this? There was autopsy photos.
But they were all pretty close up.
Didn't they? It wasn't the one. Weren't they saying they were in his ears or something?
Yes.
I don't believe it.
I'm on board, man, because the video thing plus the body thing plus that. Also, I know somebody. All right. I was talking to somebody about it, and their uncle worked on the legal team, and they're like, he wasn't depressed. He actually had a case for double jeopardy, and he was in good spirits before this happened.
They were going to transfer him to juvie.
Send it to Judge Judy.
Shit. Yeah, I mean, that. I don't know, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I'm not smart enough to be a conspiracy theorist. I don't care enough to go and do the research that it would take in order to fucking, like, Triple A goes down these rabbit holes and goes crazy. I can't bring, but I definitely, you can't just buy all this, that it's just the way that they're telling it. You know,
if you do, that's crazy. Over and over, yeah.
Once you have conspiracies from the past that were proven, at least more than one, then you could be like, yeah, I don't believe anything. Once you had MK Ultra was a real thing and Gulf of Tonkin, those were like actual, like, you people thought people were crazy when they would say them for like 30 years.
I don't know what to be sure.
They're proven to be true.
So to go to war with Cuba, we needed them to attack us.
No, it's Vietnam. It was Vietnam.
Vietnam. Okay, yeah. You said, you know it better than me. Sean.
Yeah, basically,
they needed a 9/11.
They needed a 9/11 to get into the war with Vietnam. They made this whole big story up. There was this boat. I think it was like one of those like a pontoon boat, a military boat that was attacked. It was, and something barely happened to the boat. Like, I don't even think anything even happened to the boat. But the way that the story went is that the Vietnam went after it, or one of their allies went after it. And I don't know all the details, but for years they were saying that. It wasn't set up. That was just what got us into the war. It wasn't set up. And then, like, I don't know what, maybe 15 years ago, they found out
the whole thing was set up.
They redacted some shit.
Somebody got slapped at a bar, and that was about it. And they're like, oh, we lied. But by then, it was like, I don't even remember the Vietnam War. It's like,
nobody even cares. That's like a massive crime. Yeah. That's like the amount of people that died, and nobody gives a shit. Like,
They were all cowards.
But, weapons of mass destruction, all that, like, those are proven, right? Wasn't there one recently where it's like they proved that the CIA had what was it? Was it a
the heart attack gun?
Oh no,
the heart attack gun. That shit's crazy.
And the wound it leaves on you looks like a bug bite, and it's like literally they patented it. They obviously, and they've had it since like the 60s or 70s, and it's a gun. You shoot somebody, it looks like they got a bug bite, and it gives you a heart attack.
Wow.
That's real? That's real?
It got declassified.
Maybe we're dumb and we read a headline. Shannon Snopes or whatever else. I think Snopes is probably owned by
I believe it. Remember the Cuba thing? There was a Cuba sound thing with there was those diplomats that were over in Cuba, and they were getting sick, and they said it was the sound coming through their walls, and everybody thought it was crazy, and they found out that that's what it was, that they, like, Cuba was making them sick with sound waves, like playing sound waves and overwhelming
all
their
the
senses.
Shit. We're hearing about these things, right? These stupid little things. We're hearing about them now. Think about the
shit they're covering. The shit they're like, no one can ever know this.
Yeah.
I mean, fucking, you know, murder. I mean, who knows what happened with 9/11? Who fucking knows?
And here's the thing.
I'm 9/11 is an inside job. I'm just saying, who the fuck knows? You can't tell me that you don't think there's maybe some crazy shit happened there.
Exactly. And like the other thing too is like, I just like to ask a rational question that a fucking science. Yes, and Lewis is right. We tell dick jokes in the fucking Palisades Mall sometimes. So why is it? I get that. But if you say to somebody, well, let me ask you a question, man. How come doctors and scientists are saying that it's very bizarre that little kids are walking through this for the most part like nothing, and their immune systems are still immature and their lungs aren't fully developed, yet this is a respiratory disease that is not affecting them at all? And he goes, that is a modification of a virus up to my knowledge. And then you go, well, what about that? And no conspiracy, what do you think of that? People are like, oh, you're just trying to start something. And it's like,
right, you're like, just answer the question. Please just answer the question.
Yeah, like, that's a great question. This is a respiratory disease that attacks your lungs.
I mean, if it wasn't a conspiracy question, people would just answer you. Like, if you were like, hey, how do you get t-shirts when you don't make t-shirts here? And like, oh, well, we import them from other countries where they make them. You're like, oh, cool, thanks, the answer. You wouldn't be like, fucking idiot. Why, you know? Like,
that's perfect. And
also, medical science is so advanced. Why is this the thing? Why is this stumping everybody? Like, this should have, like, tags to it that people, like, we're identifying this, this, and that. But every fact they come out with about it, they're like, oh, we were wrong about it. Everything's wrong about it.
It's pretty obvious this whole thing is just a deflection so that Jeffrey Epstein can move to a new location.
Set up a new island.
Yeah.
And that's where the kids thing comes from. He doesn't want the kids having corona.
You're talking, Donnie.
It was a thing. It was pretty interesting. My son's mother sent me an article, and it was a little girl passed away from the virus, and she was 5 years old. She's like, look, see, kids can get it. And then I read the article, and skimmy. And what I was looking for, because I'm a conspiracy theorist with this, I was looking for them to say she had no pre-existing conditions in the article, right? Or she had pre-existing conditions, but it didn't say anything about it. And then I went, that's weird. I was like, if she didn't have pre-existing conditions, they would point that out, right? But if she does, why wouldn't they point that out? That's bizarre that they wouldn't include that, because that's actual journalism.
One way or the other, ask. Like,
right. Then I read another article. None of them were saying anything. Then finally I read an article and it said, yeah, this girl had a heart condition and she, you know, like was in and out of the hospital. Like same thing happened with another 2-year-old toddler. But it's like the irresponsible reporting. You're like, guys, why wouldn't you just report that? Why are you trying to make parents afraid right now? What's the point of that? Like, yes, if you have a kid who has a heart condition, then fucking you should probably be a little bit concerned. That's some.
Yeah.
Why are you trying to freak out fucking parents? It's just irresponsible. And when you see that, you go like, okay, well, fuck you. Fuck the person who wrote this article. Fuck the publication. Fuck this news source. Everything you say, I have to take with a grain of salt, because
it should be prosecutable. It should be like you're yelling fire in a crowded theater. Really are. You're making everyone freak out, and you know you can just include a couple more truths and not do that. So like, it's irresponsible.
I said it day one. I said about this. I said the news should have reported it as, hey, just so you know, 99% of you are not going to have to worry about this. But some older people, if you have pre-existing conditions, we need to consider that. And instead of having everyone freak out, you could have everyone go, okay, thank you for being somewhat honest. Let's have the precautions that are necessary.
Yeah, but they won't do it because it doesn't sell the headline thing.
But I think they did, though. I mean, you're right. They won't do it because it doesn't sell. But I think people would have reacted accordingly. Regardless, I don't want to spend the whole time talking about this, but it does relate to something I did want to talk about on today's show, which is just sort of like irresponsible reporting and just the way that fucking people sensationalize things in general. Our good friend Kurt Metzger is getting some heat right now. Have you guys been following
Again?
Twitter? Yeah, he's in more heat.
I have no idea what's going on.
He's just an easy target, but what?
I didn't hear anything.
It's to be honest with you, it's probably not that big of a deal. Last I looked, it's like 100 retweets from this publication and a few hundred likes, and maybe every hour or so there's a person that's putting a clown emoji or something else.
My favorite new one is clown. It's clown. I'm like, that's a fun old style insult. They have an emoji.
It does bug me. I've never gotten a clown emoji, but when I see it, when people do it to comics, it bugs me. If a black person saw somebody, another person call another black guy the N-word, hell, it'd be like, well, he's not talking to me, but it is bugging me.
History is proven.
So here's what he did. And Shannon, please actually pull up the actual clip in question, because the clip is so fucking stupid. I've never seen stupider reactionary horseshit in my entire life. But he was talking about the Armenian genocide, and he made some jokes.
It's a theory.
I don't know. Yeah, Armenia had a genocide, apparently.
That's a theory.
Armenia.
Yeah, it's a Holocaust with lowercase H.
Armenia. Is that like Hulkamania? Is that
it is a lot like that. but one eyebrow.
It's that song if System of a Down played it.
So yeah, dude, and look, here's the thing. I've heard of the Armenian genocide and Holocaust because I was a System of a Down fan. I was a System of a Down fan. That's the only reason why I heard about this. And it's
Holocaust of my people, of my people.
Over 220,000. La 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 la. Great. I love the music. And by the way, I'm just like a punk, you know, heavy metal fan. I'm like, this rules. And they're talking about like the genocide of their people.
Real heavy shit.
It's like Rage Against the Machine. They were apparently talking about it, some heavy shit. I was just like, this is great. Let's do it.
They were apparently talking about some heavy shit.
Yeah, dude. I don't know, man. It was just some fucking cool hacky sack music, if you ask me. So he's on a podcast making dumb jokes, as we do.
You know, as we just did.
With no more thought put into it, except you're trying to make a couple friends laugh. Shannon, do you have the actual clip?
I keep finding written quotes of it. I'm trying to find the clip. Sorry.
Go on Twitter and type in the words Kurt Metzger. And you'll see a publication actually put a whole article out on him. And you can pull up that. And that actually has the clip.
He's talking about the Armenian genocide?
Yeah, it's talking about the Armenian genocide. I want to actually just show the clip versus me saying it verbatim, then showing it.
Okay, hold on one sec.
Here we go. It's all good. I'll take a moment actually to do some plugs out of the way. Real quick, Zach Amico, got anything to plug, my brother?
Yeah, Instagram, Zach is not funny. Check out my other show on the network, Zach Amico's Midnight Spook Show, every Friday at midnight, and Catalyst Wrestling every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. here on Gas Digital Network.
Fuck yeah. Ari Shaffir.
Well, you know, you can find me on social media, but I started a new YouTube account where all my podcasts are and yoga classes, stuff like that. Yeah, for real, though. YouTube.com/
Oh, I believed you.
Yeah. Go over there and fucking, that's where all my content is now. So push it back. Go there and subscribe.
Skeptic Tank, Mr. Donnelly.
I am I'm at Shawnee Time on Instagram and Twitter. And also, I have a movie podcast, Defend Your Movie, and I have a show on Sirius called Celebrate.
Very cool. I was supposed to do that podcast. What happened?
You probably canceled on me. I would love all you guys to do it if you want to.
Defend Your Movie, right? It was supposed to be a shitty movie that I
Lewis,
love.
I asked Lewis, you canceled. Zach, I never asked. Zach, I'd love for you to do it. And Paul, I'd love for you to do it.
Yeah.
White Man Can't Jump. That's what I was going to defend.
Yeah.
Why Man Can't Jump is not a shitty movie. That's a great movie.
That's what I said.
Well, we would put it up against something else, another basketball movie.
Okay, American History X.
They did play basketball on that. Opposite messages.
It's white men can jump. They can jump better than black men.
That was one of the best scenes in American History X, when he's like, we'll challenge you to a game for you N-words to have to leave this area.
That's when it became science fiction, when they beat the black guys.
And one of the guys on the team was Ethan Supley.
That's right, yeah. Who's now, right. Now he's Jack. Have you seen Ethan Supley now? He's Jack.
Ethan Supley back then played basketball like Big J does now. Just uses the fucking ass to back people out of the way. He's not tall. He just bodies. He plays that fucking frat guy.
I'm just realizing that movie had the same plot line as Monster Jam. It's exactly what happened to Monster Jam. They decided that they were going to have a basketball game to see whether or not the aliens...
You mean Space Jam?
No, that's what I meant. Space Jam.
Well, it's not the plot of the movie. It's about much more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lewis just watched. Monster Jam. Lewis just watched that one scene
Monster
of the movie.
Jam. I missed it.
Space Jam. What's Monster Jam?
You don't remember when Bugs Bunny was a white supremacist?
Space Jam.
Was that before or after the Armenian genocide?
You remember when Yosemite Sam made Daffy Duck bite the curb?
Paul's got to do his plugs.
Yeah, Paul. Sorry, also, buddy. Daffy Duck, if Daffy Duck bit the curb, he would stomp on him and then his beak would go around at the back of his head.
There'd be dynamite.
Paul. Oh, shit.
Plug.
Yeah, man. I just, during this whole thing, I got a new YouTube channel, which is doing good. It's got the new Verzi Effect podcast. Check out the Verzi Effect podcast. Got some big guests coming up. And you can get me on Instagram and Twitter. And yeah, that's it.
And you got a new studio that we were seeing.
I got a new studio. Yeah, man. I built a new podcast studio during this shit. So.
Looks great, man.
Nice.
Yeah, check out all of the podcasts here on the Gas Digital Network. We're giving away a 30-day free trial up until May 15th. If you guys sign up, we're giving away a 30-day free trial premium Gas Digital service. That means you get the entire on-demand library at your fingertips for free for 30 full days, okay? We're talking about 9,000 hours of the funniest, best, most hilarious, uncensored podcasts on the planet, including Real Ass Podcast, Legion of Skanks, SDR Show, Zach Amico's Midnight Spook Show, Part of the Problem, Tommy Dreamer Podcast, Jamie Josta Show, Godfrey's got an incredible podcast on the network, Shannon Lee Hires, The Thing Is, Ding, Jordan Rosa, Corinne Fisher just started the podcast on the network, Mike Feeney, Mike Cannon, Kim Congdon and Alex got a great show, High Society Radio, I mean, the best podcast in the world, all bullshit aside, guys, go give the trial a shout. You guys also get pre-release on all the episodes, uncensored episodes, ad-free, and the live chat is always a ton of fun. I'm in the live chat every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern. You can watch all the shows live for free as well, by the way. You don't have to subscribe to Gas Digital to watch the live stream. Just go to the website and click on the live button when there's a live show. Just watch. If you want to join the live chat, you got to subscribe. Use the promo code RAP30. Get that 30-day free trial. Support the network. Support the shows you fucking love and support the Real Ass Podcast. Shannon, show me this clip. Actually, hold on. I'm going to get a piece of ice.
And Zach has to do plugs.
Can I?
I did mine already.
Can I have a promo code for Gas Digital?
RAP30.
Can I get a personalized promo code? Ari is better than Lewis, and that will give you access to
Ari. Yours,
the same thing you were talking about.
No, you can have a 31. I swear to God, I'll let you promote a 31-day free trial.
31-day free trial. Okay. Yeah, just don't use Lewis. Use mine. Ari better than Lewis. Ari, you get 31. Get a 31-day free trial.
Shannon, please email that to Ralph right now because that's hilarious.
You guys could use Lewis's promo code, but why not go a little better? What a cool, easy, always better than Lewis promo code for 31, right now only, day, free trial. 30 days of day, think of the past.
Would you like an extra free day before you forget to cancel your subscription to Gas Digital?
All right, so here, actually, Shannon, you can start.
Oh, look at that, comedian in quotation marks, comedian Kermesh.
So, Paul, this is
let me just break this down, word by word. Comedian in quotation marks, which is them already saying, like, we don't agree with, clearly, he's
exactly
jokes for a living. Kurt Metzger. Then the fourth word says, when they use words like says, his comments, statements. Kurt Metzger.
He joke about it. He joke. Said it.
Yeah, in a joke, Kurt Metz, comedian Kurt Metzger, jokes. It's like, oh.
It was a good thing.
Comedian makes joke.
Yeah.
Well, with the headline for the audio.
Comedian's tongue-in-cheek punchline is a reversal.
For the audio listeners, what the headline says, comedian, quote-unquote, Kurt Metzger says it, quote-unquote, was a good thing that the Armenian genocide happened. Now, this is what the article says, and you go like, holy shit, that sounds pretty fucking harsh. Now, play the actual clip, and here, I'm going to get a piece of ice. I'll be right back, but you guys can listen to it. Good. Why Turkey? Yeah, no
your
shoes in the mosque.
Get stronger.
Why Turkey? Yeah.
April 24th was the commemoration of the Armenian genocide, so it's been on my mind.
Are you Armenian?
No, I just am a denier of the Armenian genocide. I don't think it happened.
I'm just a well-known denier of Armenian genocide. Yeah.
I don't quite deny it. I more doubt it. I'm just not sure it happened. I could be talked into it.
Yeah. I say it happened, but it was a good thing. Am I in the minority here?
Listen, it's not our fault the Armenians are bad hikers.
I'm just a huge Young Turks fan.
Yeah, exactly.
Why is it very funny? All right. So it's also
that's
very
funny. Awful.
Well, they added him into it, too. They all were making jokes.
They were all joking about it.
He would be a moron not to throw one in. He'd be like, what are you doing? Throw one in. We're all throwing one in.
And you know what it was? It was one of those things where there's four guys, three of them went, and it's like, he's not going to not say anything. Dude, that is one of the worst ones, and I was so happy that this pandemic, this was not happening, right? Yeah. It was like, oh, these fucking people went away.
They went away because, like, you really, this is what you care about when people are fucking dying left and right, and this is what you care about. They're still there. They look foolish now.
This one is like so obvious. Like, it's kind of like there are people going after Kurt, and it's just like 19-year-old Armenian kids who are like just – I mean, I don't know.
And why not go after the other guy who is like,
wait, who said it didn't happen?
The first guy was worse, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. They were all making stupid fucking jokes. It didn't matter. And to be honest with you,
if they were all serious, which one would be the worst? The one who said it was just boring? The one who said I can be talked to it out of it? That's like a realistic question.
You're right.
If they're all just commentators, the one who said I don't believe it happened, or the one that says I do believe it happened, but I liked it.
That's worse.
Yeah, that might be the worst one, actually.
The second one is, yeah. but I think, I even think the
third
first
guy, the first guy's just ignorant. He's saying, oh, I don't believe it happened. The other guy's
the
like,
kid's joking
evil.
Too, right?
We're saying, Paul, if they're not joking.
What if they were MSNBC analysts who were saying this is like in serious speech? Like, who would be the worst one in that case? If there was no joke,
then I would understand the
yeah. Then you
understand. Yeah.
But I will be honest with you, I still wouldn't even understand them being that mad. Who fucking cares? I mean, people make fun of my dead dad and my dead mom. They are my dead parents to my face all the time, and I don't fucking care. I can't wrap my head around anybody unless I mean.
Wait, your mom's dead too? I thought just your dad.
Seriously?
Yeah, your mom is dead.
You didn't know my mom was dead?
No, I mean, I'm ecstatic now that I found out, but I did not know.
No, no, Lou, he's happy for her.
Yeah. You know what? Now tomorrow it's going to say comedian Ari Shaffir.
Makes fun of dead mom.
Ari, that's the worst thing you've ever said.
Wait, so what site was that? Because that can't be...
Some no-name, but here's the thing. The reality
that's what they're doing.
They're using Metzger's name.
And what they do is Armenians try to be way too angry about stuff. Yeah. Quit being angry at her and just start worrying about banging out people's dents on their Honda Civics in L.A.
In all fairness, Kurt's got to be pretty glad that genocide happened, or else a lot more people would be mad at him right now.
Yeah, that's right.
That's brutal. I don't understand. How does anybody with half a brain watch that and not go, okay, this guy's so obviously kidding? Not only that,
if you're not into the jokes,
really break down what the joke is, right? He is shining a light on the ignorance of Holocaust deniers. He's not denying
Holocaust. Yeah.
It's not about the Armenian Holocaust. It's really about the real Holocaust.
Yeah.
So
here we go. You're screwed, Lewis.
he's actually shining. It's when Shane did the joke where that he got in trouble, where he was like, "Well, the chinks are," you know. He was doing a voice of a character of an ignorant person. The reason these jokes land and are funny is because you're not supposed to say these things.
Using exaggeration too.
Nobody's hearing it and going like, that's fucking right, dude. Anybody raise this that hears that and says that, that's not who we're going for. We're going for people that are laughing at
You ever do the joke where everyone's talking about somebody they all like Sal Volcano? It's just nobody hates Sal Volcano, right? So it's like, imagine if everyone's like, oh, what a good guy. And then Zach's like, oh, one time he fucking helped pick me up and he didn't have to drive all the way out of his way. And Sean's like,
this is Sal Volcano raped me.
Yeah, and then the last guy just goes, fuck him. It's just it's clearly
a joke.
Yeah. It's like, so far the opposite. It's fun.
Yeah. By the way, the amount of people that don't get that joke, because that's my type of joke. And the amount of times that I get
a lot of people who don't get it.
The amount of time that I get a flat tire on that, where people are like, dude, what's your? Yeah, I got a nasty flat tire. So one of my favorite jokes in the world to do to my friends, and this comes from like Bobby Kelly and Big J, and
when you fuck their ex-girlfriend.
It's when you fuck somebody's ex-girlfriend. If somebody's eating something, or you do this all the time, or you one of the best times ever. Was when Ari did this, I had a can of Altoids, and I was going to, and then Ari smacked the can of Altoids out of my hand, and I went, Ari, you idiot, I had 10 Adderall in that can. Furious.
You had it open for so long. I was like, don't do it. I was like, I maybe I should. You gave me so much time to think about it.
But it's a nice classic bully prank. Your friend is, you know, eating something. You're having a cup of coffee. You smack it out of their hand. You laugh. You throw a dollar on the ground. It's like, go buy another cup of coffee, faggot. It's hilarious, right?
But if they choose to not be happy about it, to not laugh, then it sounds really bad. It's like, dude, that's not cool at all.
Well, that's what happened to me.
Yeah.
So with Ian, I was hanging out with these two chicks. And Ian had a slice of pizza. And he had just gotten he had it for free because Ian's like, he's no shame. He's like, oh, they're giving a free slice of pizza at Joe's. And I was like, shut up, Ian. And I smacked it out of his hand. And then he got so upset. Like, he was like, what the fuck, dude? Like, that was my dinner. And then everybody around me was like, dude, what the fuck is wrong with you? I'm like, no, it's a ball busty thing. We all do it. And it made everyone just uncomfortable.
It's the best. He's like, does he look like he enjoyed it?
Dude, it was so bad. So that sort of like that is dying. Like the bullying.
Lewis, all that's missing from that is if you just yelled tough crowd as you did it.
Yeah.
The funny thing is with these is it's not that, it's one guy writing an article about Metzger, let's say, and it's like he's a fucking moron. And they're intentionally looking for something to get upset about, looking to sell whatever. But most people aren't going to read the story. Most people are just going to read the headline and be like, oh, that Metzger guy is a fucking asshole. They're not going to know any context. They're not going to watch the video. They're just going to be like, what a fucking dick. And they're going to reach out to him and be like, hey, man, I just saw your fucking thing. Fuck you.
If you watch that video and you are mad about that, you are a fucking... You need to kill yourself.
Yes.
You need to fucking kill yourself because you are a waste of fucking earth. You are a waste of space. You do not have the brain capacity to live in this society. I don't trust your decision making. I don't trust you to be able to do anything productive for society.
But almost no one did. Almost no one did do that. No, but really what happened is this publication was like, just said, hey, anyone who follows us, just let's unleash anyone on, call this guy the worst human ever and unleash people on him.
It's just such a, if you're Armenian, you should be furious at this publication. If you read that and you're from, if you have family members that died in the Armenian genocide, you should be like, are you out of your fucking mind? There's real shitheads out there. There's real racist pieces of shit out there. There are real people that hurt people out there. You're going to
spend there's a whole country called Turkey that killed all of my family.
But you're going to go after just something that's so obviously a joke. It's just so irresponsible, and it's just they should be mad. They should legitimately be mad. If you're an Armenian person reading that, you should be going, "Yeah, what do you think?"
You know, fucking morons? It's funny to me; these things never stop, right? They keep coming. This is not now. It's been 5, 6, 7 years of these like fucking headline, anger-inducing headlines on comedy. Shouldn't we have a game plan already? Shouldn't we all just like when this happens, just be like, "Oh, let's all write a fucking shitty joke about Armenians now. Let's make it even worse.
Like double down on it.
Yeah, something. I don't know. Or all fucking go after whoever wrote it and just be like, yeah, let's fucking do that.
They can't get all of us. That's the thing, right? If 100 comedians just said, "Cool, when that happens, everyone write a fucking joke," and we all that's how we stand in solidarity. And then they go, "Well, yeah, all right, we can't come after everybody. Everyone's making jokes. This is fucking stupid." Eventually, they would get over it. But
so you can't just keep commenting. This is ridiculous. Like, we've said it 1,000 times. It's like when they say that Trump lied. We're like, yeah, that's what is this? A new story or an old story? Fucking.
Yeah, you know why, too? Because Ari, you're right. But I think subconsciously, the other comedians are afraid to do that because they don't want to be targeted.
Right, you're right.
Like, even stuff like they'll go on and go, "What do you guys think about what happened with this?" And you're like, "Well, I don't know. I think he got a raw," and people are afraid. It's like, if we fucking all attack the person, they would be the ones reluctant to write.
Well, here's what happens. You have most people that are, anybody who's silent for the most part, typically just sort of agrees like, yeah, that's stupid, but they don't want to fuck up their own shit. They don't want to get attacked.
Or they don't just care. They hear like, yeah, that seems weird. Anyway, get back to my life. They're just not like, is this a big deal?
Or? Yeah, just ignore it and move on.
Or then there's the other people who use the opportunity to try to gain some sort of, you know,
standing.
So, yeah, exactly. And you see that happen a lot where they sort of, you know, posture. Ari, you don't
well, that's what
that.
This is.
Ari knows nothing about that at all, right?
So many comedians trying to show, "Well, I didn't find the joke." My favorite one is that when people go, "I didn't find the joke funny, but he has a right to say it." I'm like, why are you including that first part?
Yeah.
Why is this the first time you're insulting another comedian's joke in public?
Yeah.
Just say it's his right to say it. Why are you adding in that? What are you doing? There's a lot of comics with shitty jokes.
It was funny. I mean, what do you want me to say? When people, like, when I read that, when I knew what you were doing. I've seen you do it 100 times. I knew exactly what you were doing. And I laughed.
Oh, 100%.
And I went, I was like, oh, fucking Ari, you idiot. Now, the reality was, if I was sitting right next to you, I would have wrestled your phone from your hands because I would have had the foresight to say,
oh, no, you wouldn't have. No, you wouldn't have.
I would have.
No, because every comic who saw it was like, dude, that's a good one. And then later, like, oh, you went too far when they saw the reaction. None of them seeing the thing alone.
I said something to you before you even got shit.
What?
I don't remember. I remember reading it. I was like, "Ooh, this is fucking
haha, good joke. I wish I had said it." That's what you wrote.
Yeah, dude.
I love when anybody says not funny at all. And you're like, tens of thousands of people laughed. Or those amazing racist videos I did. They're like, not funny. I'm like, literally millions of people laughed out loud at that. And you're gonna tell me not funny at all?
What's crazy too is the same thing with that Metzger thing, and when Ari was doing the amazing racist. The fact that people thought that's serious.
That's
really like those are the same people that thought Corona beer had something to do with this virus, which is crazy.
Yeah,
like that. There are people that literally like thought that,
and people go, "Well, you got to be careful. Those other people might not find it funny." Like, wait, you want us to plan our jokes for the people not in the room?
Right.
Yeah. Right.
That's then we'll never do anything. Walk any line. Like,
why do comedy? Nah. Yeah.
I think we've
gotten all these messages from Armenian people. I'm assuming it's probably the same 5 people, but like Gas Digital is getting emails from people being like, "You have to get rid of this guy." And I'm going like, really fucking Stanley Roskaroskian? You're never fucking subscribing for my network.
Never.
Who the fuck are you? You've never even heard you. You see this attached to his name, so now you're contacting me. You will never be on my radar.
They didn't do the research, by the way. Someone else were like, here's someone that he's associated with. Let them know you don't want him. And so they're like, hey, I used to be a fan of this podcast network. Now I'll never do it. I was a fan of Gad Digital. But now I'm not going to be anymore.
Yeah. Remember when I get in trouble for where they were writing
rape
articles to get me fired? Yeah, I raped that chick. And then you know. Then they came, you know, the fucking, the PC police came, and the real police came.
Did you honestly get emails to gas to fire you?
To fire me, yeah. I don't remember what it was
That's for. That's so funny. So funny. It's like, I love when you get the ones that you're like, you so clearly are showing me that you're not a fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I love when I get them, it's like, this is why you'll never have a special. And I'm like, I've had three.
Almost had four.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. It's
just so funny when they show very obviously, like.
But it's just like there's also this like this outrage thing. It's like I don't think that these people are really even mad. They're just a level of boredom, and they want to see.
No man.
They're a part of something. It's almost like it's this new thing that exists that never existed before.
It's
where you can go and touch. I don't want to say famous people, but you can go and affect people's lives in a way and sort of be a part of the thing. And you go and they feel justified because they feel like they're doing this social justice and this is a bad person who's racist or whatever. But for the first time ever, they can legitimately affect this person and they can fucking be a part of this thing. It's almost like they're at the goth table in high school, but they can actually have an effect on somebody's life.
You can't just like stop watching. You'd be like, no, I want everyone to stop watching.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Did you ever hear Metzger actually? Sometimes you stop and look at these people being angry at anybody, not me, but anyone else. And I'll look at their profiles, not contact, just look at them. And sometimes you're like, wow, you're all about like Dharma and shit like that, or you sell flowers. Or sometimes you're like, oh, that's a 13-year-old boy. That's literally a 13-year-old boy. Has Metzger ever told you why he doesn't do Twitter, why he only does Facebook?
Why?
He goes, it's a spatiality thing. He goes, on Twitter, you write a tweet and it's this big. And then somebody responds to you, and they are exactly as big below you, just the same size below you. So it's not Facebook. Facebook, I write a post, and it's this big. And then your reply is this little itty-bitty thing down where you belong because you're a peon that's and fucking, I'm an artist. And that's dude, where he that's, stays.
Dude, that's brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what they should be treated at. But they're treated all the – if fucking 20, 13-year-olds get mad at you, people are like, ooh, we got to do something. You're like, they're not real people.
Well, they are, but they're not actually really mad. They're not. It's very easy for them to type these words into a thing, and if you sort of disconnect from it, and you're not, you don't feel the effect of it the same way. If you just literally get offline for a minute, you go, "Oh wait, I'm not bothered by this anymore." It's nice and simple.
At internet speak, you have to go. You can't say, "I don't like you." You say, "I hope you get AIDS. I hope your mother gets fucked in the eyeball." That's the way you get heard. I'm gonna kill you. It's like that's the way you get heard on the internet. Yeah. But they don't mean they're actually gonna kill you.
I'm gonna find you. I'm gonna kill your parents.
Yeah. Watch. I was gonna say that's the thing that's scary as far as the last few years. Like Dina got doxxed.
Yeah, the doxing is weird. That's a new
like
one.
Like that's you guys
black
know
black people love doxing.
It's actually for real though. Like this, like what Kurt did was a joke, and what those people are doing is actually for real.
Like they put Dina's mom's work address and shit online.
Dude, I've had ex managers, people that somehow they didn't change their website. They're out of what got called at home saying, "I'm gonna come rape you because you work with Ari Shaffir." Like, what? I don't work in the industry anymore. And who are you?
Wow.
How great would it be if, like, we all just showed up to the troll's door?
Uh-huh.
You know, like, I wanted to write a screenplay about murdering them, you know?
That'd be great.
It would be great.
Like a vampire movie, but it's all trolls?
Yeah, exactly. Like, hunt Twitter trolls.
That's the end of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. They use their movie money to go beat up all the kids.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right,
This happens all the time, right? So I meet people on the road that come to shows, and the fan base is fucking awesome. But I particularly get trolled a lot by our fans. Like I have fans that like, you know, will just, you know, they'll like me. They'll be my Twitter stream. They're like, dude, fuck you, Lewis. You suck. I hope your kid dies. And I'm like, what? I'm like, no, I'm kidding.
So mad that like them, but they're trying to include you.
They're just trying to like get a reaction. They're trying to get noticed or whatever
it
is. They
want you to respond. Yeah.
Yeah. And they want you to respond. So I meet a lot of these people on the road. And what's funny is like, I happen to put one face now. Like I met this guy on the road and then he happened to follow me and I remembered who he was. And this guy just sort of trolled me and he says shit. It's nothing crazy. He just says, and the other day he was on Twitch and he was like fucking dumb Lewis over here. Fucking just this. And I'm like, I stopped my stream. I was like, dude, I met you. You're 300 fucking pounds. You have gaps between your teeth. You smelled. I was like, I remember how much you fucking smelled. You're not as smart as me. You're not as cool. You have nothing.
He's our target audience, but
he got you. He got a reaction out of you.
But I have to step back and go like it's like that's you can't take everything so personally, because a lot of times it's just some kid who he loves. This kid, literally, he knows I'm talking. He's listening to the show right now, guaranteed. He came to, he's been to multiple.
He's on it.
And I've talked to him about this. You know, I talked to him about it before. But it's like, you have to step back and realize, like, it's not the real world. So when we go on social media, we put the best picture of ourselves. We have the avatar we create for our video game character. It's got muscles and it's fucking got the cool outfit and the hair. Like, we have this fake world, and that's also our personalities on social media. Everyone's a fucking cool jock ball buster. I'm quick-witted as fuck on social media because I get to sit down and really watch me when I sit with Zach and he's just telling jokes around me and going circles, because in real time, I don't get to fucking edit and get to fucking go over it a million times. Everyone is smarter and better and sharper and quicker and the best version of themselves on social media, but just realize – everyone actually sucks. Everyone's really depressed. Everyone's really self-conscious. Everyone really hates themselves.
Especially right now.
A real Christian will be like, when somebody's like, fuck you, like, what's wrong? What happened to you, man? Let's talk. Are you okay? Because you would only do that if something's bothering you.
Yes.
I had a guy yell at me without realizing it. He was blocking the sidewalk. And he screamed, and I was like, over the water. Yeah.
story checks out. Keep going.
That was a stretch.
And he was
stretch marks.
And he was yelling at me, and I was just like, it's okay, you'll be okay. And he's like,
it's so fun to diffuse it that way. Just like, it's okay, man, you'll be okay.
It's okay. And he goes, and he's like, don't tell me. And I go, just take it. It's fine. It's okay. You'll be. I'm like, it's you're being silly. Just don't be silly. And it was just getting madder and madder.
When you refuse to go in with them. Sometimes
you ever have them like, one guy got me because he said something and it bugged me so much I couldn't let it go. He's like, yeah, that joke sucks. He just said something and it bugged me. And I go, get the fuck out of here with your 100 followers, you fuck. And I just started to go. And usually when you do that, they shut down. And he goes, why would you respond to me like that? he goes, you're a fucking loser for responding to me. And I'm going, fuck.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I've got that way a few times. Yeah,
your response is their win.
You need to act like you are too busy to even see it. That's why I don't block people. I don't block people. I don't mute people. I don't do anything. If somebody tweets at me enough, they'll probably get through.
I'll mute them.
But even I don't even mute them.
Because, I'm too fucking insecure.
Maybe I do, and you don't even know, right? But the reality is, like, no, I should seem too busy to even think of that.
And I should seem too busy. No, you should be too busy to look at all the responses.
I'm sitting in quarantine. I play 13 hours of video games a day. I'm not too busy.
I had to give it up to somebody once, because I'll respond once in a while. Like, they're attacked their logic or something. I was like, well, if that's true, don't you think it's hypocritical that you think this? And then I looked at their account and they had one post and an avatar. And I wrote back. I was like, hey, man, troll the troll. You got me. I'll admit it. You fucking got a rise out of me. Good job. I know you're fake, so way to go. You got me.
Yeah.
What about people saying stuff in person to you after shows? You ever had that happen?
Twice ever. What, that joke wasn't good, or people who?
Yeah, like shitty. Yeah, like shitty after shows.
I started a new thing. So you know how they're like, this joke wasn't. You shouldn't say this. You shouldn't make rape jokes. You shouldn't make whatever jokes. And you're like, well, I wasn't. I was trying to show light. You know, you're trying to argue with them. Me and who's the tall Canadian guy at the stand? Clean cut, black hair.
Graham K.
So we were talking, and he made a rape joke about he was in lockup in prison for the night, and somebody said, "I'm going to rape you." And then he called him a Tom Brady looking nigger. That's what it was. It wasn't rape. And I said, I got on. I said it after him. I was like, "Hey, from now on, you should get called up by Tom Brady looking nigger." And then some lady was like, "Hey, that's really wrong. You should never use that word." And Graham was like, "Well, no, it was a joke saying somebody said that to me while I was in prison."
Yeah.
And I, for the first time, it was clear to me. And I just go to this woman who was like an eighth black. You could tell she was like trying to be offended for this, you know, to try to whatever. But I just go, you're absolutely right. I won't do that anymore.
That's great.
Which I will, of course. But then she's like, well, you should. And I'm like, yes. And you saying it pointed it out to me. I realized I was wrong. I won't do it anymore. And she was like, whoa. Like she wanted a fight. Couldn't get one from me. And then like, just go away.
Whose podcast were you on, Ari? I heard you do an interview and you were talking about what somebody would do at the Comedy Store when they would call.
Oh, Yeah, so Mooney would get complaints.
Yeah, Mooney. Yeah. This was you're rehashing the story, so I you know, whatever podcast it was, yeah. I heard on, but this was a great little thing.
So yeah, we would get complaint letters, and phone calls. The letters were the best because Mooney, he's racist, but it's funny, you know. And we would get complaint letters about him, and we were instructed to call that person back or to write them back. Said we're so sorry that happened to you. He will be severely reprimanded. He will not be allowed to perform for a while at the comedy store.
That's great.
There's two free tickets. Who's two free tickets? Which in a time we were struggling, we needed to fill up. Two free tickets was two drinks times two out of both of them. And then we were then instructed to call Paul Mooney and say, hey, just so you know, we got this fun complaint letter. He goes, oh, hold me. Read it to me right now. I love these things. And we all have a great laugh.
Yeah, that's a good Paul Mooney.
Thank you very much. He's yelled at me many times. And then we just have a good laugh about it. But it's like, let him feel they won. Who gives a fuck?
But you know what it is?
Why? Let him feel like they get that win. And it just diffused it. You go like, oh, cool. I'm sorry. Like, I would, if I've apologized to women after shows, she was like, that really offended me. I was like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you.
And then just don't do it in writing. Don't apologize.
No, I'm not going to tweet on it. I'm not apologizing to the public because I said a joke.
Yeah, but
if I hurt somebody's feelings, I'll say, hey, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I was trying to tell people a joke. I was like, you know.
Yeah, like in real life, if you're like, it reminds me of 9/11. It's like, dude. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. My bad.
Oh, you just immediately apologize.
You know, it's funny, too. Like, it's funny. Every time I see Lewis, I either see a blunt or a whiskey, and I'm like itching to fucking start getting hammered in the house. But they have an agenda in their head before the show is over. Like, they're going to come up to you like, I was doing this joke about my son and I playing one-on-one basketball, and he said, let's fucking go. And he kind of, like, chested up to me, my son. And I just do this whole story, and at the end, it makes my son look really good with the punchline. Oh. And a woman comes up to me at the DC Improv, and she goes, you know, you should kind of like maybe talk about your daughter playing basketball with you. And I'm going,
that's
like,
not what happened.
And I'm like, well, it didn't. My daughter didn't fucking hit a shot on me and say, let's fucking go.
And even if she tried, she couldn't.
I'll tell you what, though, dude. The greatest thing I ever saw a comedian do to somebody was years ago. Ari, you might have been there. That when that feminist woman went up to Joe Rogan nicely and she goes, oh yeah, I talk about men and what I do the way you were talking about women. And he goes, oh, that's cool. And then she goes, let me ask you a question. Why do you, and like, he looked down for a second and she goes, don't look down, look at me. And he just goes, ma'am, I can look down when I'm thinking. He goes, I know what the fuck you're trying to do right now. And it's fucking pathetic. You're a bully and you're trying, dude, you know the clip, right, Ari?
I think so. I think I might've been there in the back hallway of the store.
And there was
they had her on SDR show like a year or two ago, the same chick.
Is she a comic? Oh,
she's not a comic. She's like a blogger lady. Yeah, she's like a fucking.
He destroyed her. Like, she had a crowd of like women around her and they started to like act like, oh, we're going to get him. And she was like, don't look down. You could look at me. You could. And he was just like, don't tell me when, like, I'm thinking, like, I can think.
Yeah. It's like, I love when people call you on calling them. It's like,
And he was like, I know what you're doing and it's fucking pathetic. You're a bully. And all these people listen to you and want somebody not. And she just, it was the fucking best. Dude.
Yeah. That it's a reverse bullying thing. It's when women do this a lot. Right. And they do it online a lot. We see this all the time. So they will lash out. Right. People do this to me, they'll say something, they're like, yeah, you know, Legion of Skanks are racist or whatever it is. And then I'll quote tweet them and I'll just say, you know, F you, whatever it is. I'll respond. Who cares, right? With whatever it is. And then our fan base starts to, you know, call them names and, you know, start threatening their family and whatever they do. So, but then this person goes, look, they're bullying me. It's like, well, no, you bullied me. And then I reacted.
Yeah.
And now you're getting the fucking attention that you asked for. So what are you complaining about? It's this reverse bullying thing. And feminists do it. Fucking chicks do it. And they go like, look, I'm getting threatened on the internet. It's like, no, you go after groups of people.
I didn't even know you until you were insulting me.
That Seth Simons guy, I had no fucking idea who this guy was. Nobody's bullying you, dude. You mention us regularly.
I'm going to respond. He great quotes. He likes me. He doesn't like you guys. That guy liked me.
And
the feminists will turn you into, it'll turn you into being a fucking, I kicked two women out of a show and they were crying to the owner going, I've never been talked to like that. The owner goes, he dealt with you guys drunk and talking in the front row for a half an hour. And he fucking, and the owner had my back and it was like, yeah. And then it was like, no, he hates women. It's like, It's ridiculous. It's like, no, I don't hate women. I hate cunts who talk at my show in the front row and they're rude and disrespectful when I'm working.
That's one of the best quotes I ever heard on that was Brian Posehn, and I won't say who told him, but somebody was like, he hates women. And he goes, you know, something along the lines of, I've been told that by about three people. Three women have said that about me, and I have hated those three people. So it's like, I love how you make that all of them when it's just, I hate you.
Dude, Ari, do you remember that thing? Brian Posehn had this one joke where he goes, a woman came up to me and goes, you look like you like to fuck sluts in the ass. And he goes, I look like that? He goes, well, tell me what I have to do to not look like that.
I like it.
That's an honest answer. That's an honest answer.
I love when those things like Rogan Dad, Bird does it sometimes, where it's like you call them on the moment. We're like, I'm not responding to what you're saying. I'm responding to what you're doing, which is a real Meisner acting technique. You know, where it's like, you know what you're doing. You're trying to get a rise out of me. Don't act like
I just don't like. I actually respect the people that will at least walk right up to you and go, even though I don't like when they do it, I respect them more when they go right up to you and they're like, I don't like when you did it, than when they kind of try to come in like an ally and then they like. That's the worst.
Well, you know?
I had a couple once.
You should do this.
I was in Virginia once and I had a couple before the show. They go, are you funny? You better be funny. And I said, no. And they go, and they laughed it off. And I go, I'm not kidding. I don't know what I'm doing. And they went to the ticket window and they got a refund and they left in their car.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fucking great.
I loved every minute.
Really, you didn't want them there.
Me and Metzger,
they wouldn't have been great.
Exactly.
That's great.
Me and Metzger on this tour, I mean, I was probably getting at least once a weekend, I was getting a chick walk out. And for the most part, it's our fans. It's not like we have like random people coming in. But what happens is our fans will bring in some dude, he's like a secret neck beard. He's like, but he's a normal dude. He's got like a real job and he's decent looking. And he decides to bring some chick on a date to our comedy show. And it always goes bad. But I don't really deal with, at this point, it's sort of like.
You know what they are. They're prototypes. They're tropes.
Well, if you're bombing, it's different. Right? So if you're bombing, it's sort of I think they start to get a little more entitled and they feel like they can come up to you and say something.
Yeah, of course.
Dude, I was in San Diego with Ryan O'Neill, and he didn't do well. He was opening that show and he came off stage and he's walking to the La Jolla Comedy Store, walking all the way back right towards it.
Better or worse performance than when he fought me?
It was way worse than when he fought you. And that was
way
bad.
Worse.
Right. Yeah, it was a bomb. I mean, it was a bomb.
Wow.
Yeah, nobody could have given any round as opposed to your and as he's walking off, this lady just turns. He's walking by her. She just goes, "You sucked." And he was like, "I'm not even on stage right now. I'm a human here." Like, that just hurt me personally. Why even say that? Heckle me, fine, but I'm off stage.
Maybe
alcohol does it.
Maybe it is. I don't know what it is, but I don't know any other
industry where that'll happen.
Where it's just such a bizarre side thing in comedy.
You know what it is? They're mad that we're free. And any chink in that armor,
whoa,
it makes them angry that they're not free.
Yeah.
And it bothers them. And it
I don't know, though. Because I think a guitarist that's playing at a fucking bar somewhere, just a flamenco guitarist, is also free. And I think if somebody didn't enjoy them that much,
they wouldn't say anything.
Yeah.
They certainly wouldn't try to yell over the music.
And they don't respect it's a combination of we're free and they don't respect that comedy is harder than
they don't bring
their, like,
don't
I
bring
know their, I can't play guitar, but I think but, I can do that.
Yeah, they don't bring their guitar and play louder.
But the guitar guy doesn't have a microphone where he can say any fucking thing he wants in that moment.
That's true. That's true.
And I also think he actually kind of does.
Like he could say whatever he wants, but nobody does it. Yeah.
It would be weird if a guitar player just stopped for a second and he was like, this shit didn't come from Wuhan, and then started playing a fucking song. You're like, what?
Which, by the way, sucks when all these comics now, they make serious points all the time, and you're like, make a joke about it. You don't see fucking Bob Dylan stopping in between. He'll play the fucking song about his thing.
Yeah.
Get out of the war.
Dude, I'll tell you, I took my wife. This was fucking hilarious. I took my wife to the Lincoln Center where the Eagles play because I got her tickets to see Ed Sheeran on his stadium tour, right?
And we got Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, yeah. And Ed fucking Sheeran, in between songs, starts telling jokes.
I get no respect.
And he's fucking murdering.
Home crap.
He's like, guys, you don't have to dance. I know sometimes at a concert you feel like you do. I know my music. And then he's like making fun of how he gets. And he's like killing. And everyone's laughing. And my wife is like blushing. And I'm like, fuck, this guy's got everything. You
know, it's like, Paul, why don't you play songs in between your jokes?
By the way, that exact
you just
reason,
do your jokes.
That exact thing is why so many theater and stadium comedians are so fucking weak, because they're playing to their own audience and they're like, I kill whenever I'm on stage. And like,
That's why if you ever watch me perform at a showcase club in New York City, you're going to see me eat a hot one. But I've really learned how to do well on the road.
You guys want to hear some stories about Big J?
Shit. Yeah, man. I think musicians are just like,
they want to be us.
Comedians. Well, no, it's not even what I have so much more respect for. Just as, like a talent, just the talent of like somebody who plays guitar. Like I have my buddy Dave Green plays guitar like really fucking well. Like really well, like incredibly well. Like my buddy Dave Green, if anybody were to look at Dave Green playing guitar and then watch any of us do comedy, and everyone on the show right now is at least somewhat successful to a certain degree. Everyone, the very least, really funny. Most people consider everyone funny, right? I feel like you look at Dave's skill set and I go, that's way better than anything that any of us do. But he works in a park raking leaves. That's his job. He's not anywhere near a professional musician. Like, he's incredible, though. So it's just sort of like, it's an unfair thing. I think, like, comedy is like a personality trait. We, like, figured out this loophole and how to make a career out of a personality trait.
Yeah, but I also, yes, I agree with that. But I also think that when that guy watches you do an hour and tell stories and do callbacks and be able to entertain a group of people for an hour.
Ran out of jokes 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, it's also when you're playing guitar, no one thinks that's what you actually think. But since we're talking like us, you're like, why are you saying that? It's like,
you kind of hit the nail on the head there, because I think this is why they feel brazen and they will feel like they can come up to us, because just like with podcasting, comedy is very conversational. Whether you're doing a headlining set, you're doing a showcase, they've just spent an hour and a half or 2 hours listening to people, you know, just fucking tell it like it is, just sort of be in the moment, be honest, especially if they're good, right? If they're a good comedian, you're like, damn, maybe they've had a couple of drinks at this point. You're like, you know what? We're just having an honest night. Let's just be honest. And they see you and they go, you know, I just didn't like that thing. And they get caught up in the moment of honesty. And maybe it's a compliment to how fucking good you were. Maybe you were just fucking that real and that, you know, relatable that they feel like they can come up to you. But we're self-conscious idiots. So it ends our fucking night and we end up calling that woman a cunt.
I had a lady run out of, I was at the house. Oh, the way we were, Ari, one of the times I was, there in the past, the House of Comedy in Minneapolis, this lady, I did a joke about wanting to have kids, and this lady stands up and runs out of the room. And then after the show, I walked out, and they go, did you make fun of some lady because she can't have kids? And I went, no, I didn't. What would that? Why would I? Look at me. Look at this face. Why would I do that? I was like, oh, that's horrible. I go, I have a joke about how I want to have kids. And they're like, oh.
She's looking for any opportunity to run out and scream. And so it's like, close she's enough. I'll fit a square peg into a round hole.
She like got the manager and stuff.
I mean, I do jokes about like child cancer, like things that, like, you know, I have a dead baby joke now. I'm bringing the dead baby jokes back. It's like, if your baby died, my baby didn't die.
Just your parents.
Both of my parents.
Okay. Trying to get it all down. Yeah.
But it's like, if your baby died, you know, that would really be triggering. And I would understand if you're like, hey, dude, I didn't find that funny. But at the same time, if you aren't ready to go out into society and possibly happen upon a dead baby joke.
Definitely don't go to a comedy club. I guess you just don't know what a comedy club is. It's
the argument might be like, hey, dude, my baby's dead. I really need to just, I need to laugh. I need to
bring a night off.
Also,
we don't need Bob Gatsby's show because like, our stuff is too dark, too out there.
I just, you know, I've been having a real rough month. My baby died.
I can't keep walking by that empty crib. Let's go to a comedy club tonight.
Get rid of the crib.
Oh, shit, dude.
But also, it's the thing where you have no excuse anymore to not
at least enjoy the show you're going to a little bit, since you can – 5 minutes before the show, you can look up exactly what this person does before you walk in.
It's in your pocket.
Yeah. It's on you if you're that offended, if you can't get the gist of what somebody is from a YouTube clip or their Instagram, whatever the fuck.
It's also interesting the type of person. These are all tropes. These are all people that we've seen over and over and over again, right? When they go like, look, this one thing, I said the whole show was great, but this, I'm like, so then why are you telling me about the 5 minutes you didn't like?
Yeah.
That's what you're concentrating. You had a great hour and 25,
yeah,
and you're only talking to me about the five?
Yeah.
It's sad for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why am I talking to a sad person?
And
why,
I think it's
– yourself.
I think it is a thing where it's like I so badly want to tell somebody like that. Because you're mad because you won't do this. You don't have enough courage to do this. So you have to do this now to put us on an even playing field. You're just trying to knock things down so that you feel okay going home to your wife, whatever.
Yeah. Well, then there's also the other people who look at us like we are literal clowns. And they're like, I want your fucking make me laugh, clown. They look at us the same way they look at a jazz pianist in the corner of the room. Like, do your jazz shit. Don't make me think about my problems.
They're not a concert jazz pianist. They want someone who's playing at the fucking lobby of the fucking hotel.
Yeah, you know, just some fucking Asian dude.
Yeah, and that sort of boils down to a lot of them, the bloggers, whatever. It's like they don't see this as an art form. They see it as a fucking, we're entertainers and not artists. And so it's like, oh, that's fine. If you're looking for a cruise ship comic, you should be upset if he's not doing what you want him to.
Yeah.
But we're not here for you. Yeah. You're here for us.
Yeah.
I agree completely. And I think that, we'll see. The whole, the Metzger thing, it's a little bit scary just because, I mean, that's nothing. Yeah. I mean, that's nothing. We've said worse on today's show.
Yeah.
Today. Yeah. So it's like, and I don't think it's,
I don't think that Metzger thing is going to stick because
nobody cares about Armenians. No. But like,
Ari's going for his own.
The thing you guys got to understand, and I'm just telling you because I've been through it for, 17, 18 years, I've been getting death threats. They're not real. So eventually you'll get some. They're not real. It's just the way the internet speaks.
Yeah. The problem is fucking young comedians.
Yeah.
And we've all been there, right? And I had the foresight to know to not go and complain about death threats that I've gotten, to never complain about them publicly, because number one, it's a very entitled fucking thing. You're like, I'm so important that somebody wants to fucking kill me. It's stupid. It's ridiculous. It's retarded. And then I just knew back then, I was like, this isn't a real thing.
Yeah,
I can handle the fact that these are just words being typed into a computer. And it's when you step back from that and realize it is a little, at first you're like, oh shit, this is a little bit fucking crazy. I had one guy, he messaged me the name of my son's karate school.
Wow.
And that was like, that's for real.
That would fuck me up too.
Like,
the guy lived in Chicago. He was fucking like, I'm going like, he's not coming to Chicago to like, it's not going to happen. So it kind of freaks you out in the moment. But the reality is once you have, do you know how many death threats, somebody like Bill Burr or Joe Rogan or Whitney Cummings or just people that have legitimate fame that have, either millions of followers or, all the good, there's a lot of bad. And the reality is they just don't let you into the bad side of it, either because they either don't notice it because they're too busy because they have shit going on, or because they go like, yeah, I'm not going to fucking call attention to that. But that's the price of fame, and it's worth it. It's worth it. For me to be able to tell jokes into a microphone and just talk shit on podcasts, and once every few months I get somebody being like, I'm going to fucking kill you, or I hate you so much.
And it's like, really, you're going to go kill a child, an unrelated to this child?
A weak child who, by the way, is in karate class.
I had a guy text me the name of my doggy daycare. That was real chilling. That was
Whoa. I had a woman text me her number like 3 years ago and said, I want to hook up with you. We should hang out.
Was she Armenian? I'm sorry. Was she Armenian?
Dude, that's fucking. I really thought you were gonna say that some chick fucking catfished you to kill you. Another level. Dude, I feel like every hot chick that ever inboxes me on
you're like worried.
I'm like, this is a fucking dude trying to get my, because if
this
I'm
this is horny, the one.
Let me tell you something. If I'm horny, you can get my dick. Like, you can get a picture of my dick. Very, like, if you want a picture of my dick, all you got to do is fucking first thing in the morning or real late at night. If you inbox me, like, let me get a picture of that dick. I'm not doing too much research. I'm not, you know, like, I might do a little vetting. Might do a
Have you ever got a friend who's been catfished? I had one. It's so
really?
Fun. It's
How'd
so
it end
fun.
Up?
And they're like, this really sucks. And you're like, just laughing. And they're out there publicizing his pictures of his dick and then publicize his letters. Like, can you please not? You got me.
They publicize what they say. That's fuck the dick, dude. Because if you're getting my dick pic, my dick's going to look awesome in that pic, right? I don't have a big dick. I know how to take a dick pic.
And so it could also be anybody's dick. They could make that up.
Yeah, if you were really trying to catfish, you're like, I want a picture of your flaccid dick with your fit, but like make it as soft as possible. And then have your face in it too. It
after a dip in the pool.
It turns me on to take a picture of my dick with my face in it. Like, if I'm horny enough, that's the deviancy. I'm like, oh,
that's just fucking Lewis, it's his dick with his social security card right next to it.
Photo Lewis sends girls pictures picks.
Of his dick and then just goes, Lewis, hey, we can both masturbate to this.
And then I come.
Lewis's dick on top of his passport.
Why did I just send my fucking face and dick to the stranger? There are also females that listen to Legion of Skanks. Like, these are fucking psychopaths. There's no way. There's no way.
but your brain is saying it's worth a shot.
I'm also giving some guys the fucking, it would be funny if you guys also try to start catfishing me now and like create female profiles just to post my dick pics and love letters to Reddit, like what I say in my sexy moments.
Dude, I was dating a woman once. I was married to her actually, but she would get texts from dudes and she would let me respond as her. And I would just like say the most sexual shit. Like, I want to stick my tongue up your ass. I want to get your fucking dick in my mouth. Do you want to be inside me? And I want to be inside you so bad. And it was so much fun. Them thinking they're talking to a chick and they're just talking to some Jew dude.
Ari, you said that with such joy that something tells me that wasn't the only time.
So I was like, I like this. Let's do it more.
I had a girl that we would hook up with chicks and she would let me go on her Tinder and her Bumble and like she'd let me like have conversations with these chicks and then like after a couple times doing it I was like this is borderline rape. I was like, I don't know what's going on here. I was like, you're giving me permit. They don't know what's going on. It's like I was like it just didn't make me feel comfortable at all. But like,
oh, I thought you were saying it made you hard.
Oh, it also made me really hard. But it was like like women also don't talk like the way we talk, like women actually right. have a conversation, like, and they want to like talk, like
idiots.
Like, I'm hard. I'm ready to fucking come. Like, I want you come. Anytime I open the Bumble app, I want you come in that moment. I'm like, ooh, it's never, I can't set the foundational work to put in the, you know, whatever it is, the Bumble. Or were you ever on dating apps?
Tinder, it was a massive waste of time. I think I hooked up with like 3 girls off Tinder and spent hundreds of hours on there.
Did you do okay? Like, cause you're not
my weapon is my mouth.
Yeah. It's not that you're not attractive. You are an attractive guy.
Only to some people. You have to be into Semitic looks.
You have to sort of fucking know. On the surface, if somebody like described you the way that they used to do like Nazi propaganda images. On the surface, that actually makes sense. But then if somebody also said, Ari's got, like, nice eyes, is a handsome guy, like, that the also sort of makes sense.
A Moses fetish. Should they have that, they can figure that
exactly.
out.
Exactly. Exactly, Sean. Some people who find me, like, disgusting would be, like, anyone else, any other one of you. And then vice versa.
Did you match with hot chicks, or was it, like, a lot of Jewy chicks?
No, Jewish chicks love me.
Yeah, of course.
I've got a secret power.
I love Jewish chicks. I love Jewish chicks.
I do not. That was a weird thing. I think they're all gross. But it's this weird thing where if somebody's like, oh, I like that guy. My friend would be like, are you Jewish by chance? Like, I am. How'd you know?
It's in their loins, Ari. It's just
The same thing is for me. If a girl is thin and is into me, I'll be like,
Did you used to be like 100 pounds heavier? The brain is the one place they can't lose it.
That's funny.
Yeah, I know, like, I see my face and I, you know, since when I'm in shape, I'm like, I'm a decent looking dude. And then Bumble and Tinder, they're the ultimate proving grounds to let you know exactly how ugly you are. And it shook me in my car. I'll do it right now. We've talked about it on the show, but I haven't done this in a while. I mean, I'll open up my Tinder. The only people I ever match with
are huge black women.
But disgusting. Not even just huge, but like, it's not even like attractive black women with like a nice face. Like, just gross. Their personality suck too.
You should be able to put on Tinder like sixes and above. You know, just like, come on.
There should be a filter. You know, that's actually a great idea, Ari. So what they should do is they should have a rating system as well, right?
Yeah.
So
you say, or no black chicks. I know it's weird, but I'm just not into it. Whatever you want to say. It's like, come on.
Didn't they do that for on one of those sites? Like, you used to be able to pick races, and now
it's racesforracist.org.
No, well, you can just say,
I think Match.com had that.
Really?
Can people do that?
I saw a girl on Bumble once, and her underneath her picture, it said, only real contenders considered. And I was like, that's actually pretty honest.
Real contenders?
Dude, I knew a girl.
She was gorgeous.
Dude, I knew a girl who went on Tinder, and she got cut off and banned from it because as she was talking to a dude, she goes, are you going to fuck me or what, faggot?
And that guy was like, no, don't matter. I got to get her number still. Don't matter.
Lewis.
No, I found the one.
I just checked on Hinge, which is the only one I have on my phone, and you can choose your preferences, ethnicity.
Whoa.
Oh, you can?
I bet you they're calling Hinge alt-right. I bet you if you Google it, I bet you there's people that are like, wow, you can choose. Well, and why is that an issue?
Well, that used First to not all, be an you, issue. It you used should to be not able be to a put problem. A
tranny. You should have a, there should be a fucking trans filter on Tinder, Bumble, across the board.
What if you want that? Specific. What if you only want a transsexual or you only want a black chick?
They just mix trannies in with regular chicks. And I'm not even against getting a blowjob by a tranny. I'm saying if you caught me in the right mood, maybe, who knows? But I'm just saying
early in the morning, late at night.
I've done it. They kiss weird.
You can't just put them in, and then it becomes a thing because I'm not reading profiles. So I swipe, 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 swipe. That's actually the only time I match with a hot chick is when it's a Dominican transgender. Oh, so look, I'll start swiping. Look, here's my Tinder. Okay, Rachel, there's no way Rachel.
That's your Tinder picture, profile picture?
No, this is, look, I'm just going to start swiping. Okay, now wait till I'm going
to. That's the one. Yep. Every time.
I match with this a white chick.
No, you match with that black chick that was right before her.
This is a fucking white chick named Brett, who might be a transgendered person. No, she's not super attractive. She's actually hotter than I thought, though. All right, so I'll probably match with this chick for sure. Not even.
Nope. Look.
Yes, match. I did. See? What'd I tell you? Here, look. Look, all the fucking, no offense to these women, you're uggos. All the uggos.
Putting their real picture, no offense.
It's not their full name. Look,
there she is. That's a match.
No, not even, dude. Even all the sometimes the uggos that I see that don't match with me, I'm like, oh, I got a secret admirer. See, right here, what you do on Tinder is if you touch one of them, one of these four women, guaranteed an uggo. Big fat uggo. So this is gonna be a guaranteed match right now. What do you want? One, two, three, or four?
Three, yeah.
All right, so that one right there, three?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see. Oh yeah, she looks like Zach.
Yeah, that's what I was a kid.
But that's the problem. I'm horny when I do this, and I'm like, all right. And then I start talking to these fucking uggos, and they're just oinking into the phone, and I'm just fucking.
They're typing with their hooves.
I matched her back. There you go. All right.
What happened to Ari?
Where'd he go?
I don't know. He's gone.
Ari's gone.
All right. Fuck.
Yes, I got to plug my computer in. Are we doing a lot longer?
No, we're not going to do a lot longer. I know we did a fucking 3-hour pod or 4-hour podcast.
All right, let me plug in real quick.
Plug in real quick. Is Ari leaving?
How much longer you think? Because I got to run in like 5. Is that cool?
No. We'll end now. It's fine. It's actually, you know, we're in an hour and 40. We're good. We're fine. I had a couple things to talk about. We'll save them for the next show, Shannon, right?
Yep. That's fine.
All right. You want to?
Ari dropped out earlier also. I think maybe an issue with his internet.
It's okay. It's fine. We'll just say goodnight to everyone. Thank you for watching this episode of the Real Us Podcast. We'll be back on Friday with another great show, right, Shannon?
Yeah. High Society Radio, all three of them.
Oh, shit. High Society Radio, Real Us Podcast crossover show. That's happening. Gas Digital Network. Support us, motherfuckers. Peace.
That's all, folks.